I'm always on the search. I'm always on the search. Looking, looking, looking. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. I'm always on the search. Have you ever thought this about yourself? It comes into my consciousness every once in a while. I'm always on the search. I'm looking to be happier as a school child. I look at the other children and I see them doing things that I would like to do, and I see them having fun that I would like to have, and then I feel that I'm not doing it. I feel that I'm not accomplishing it. I look all around me at the world and I see the world doing all sorts of things that I'm not doing, and I think, I'm not doing those things, I'm not having that fun, and I feel sorry for myself. I look at all the possibilities in education, all the wisdom that is being passed out, all the genius that's being sparkled and encouraged, and I wonder, am I getting my share? And I look at the relationships between my friends and people and the people on television and the sitcoms and all of these other things. I look at them and I think to myself, hey, where's my portion? Where's my part of that? And I look at the wealth of the universe and I see some people so very, very wealthy and other people struggling along, and I see me doing whatever I'm doing. And I think to myself, surely there must be some way to fulfill those miracles that those other people are doing. There must be some way that I can have miracles in my life too. Miracles being the fulfillment of my dreams, the fulfillment of the desires of my heart. Yes, there must be some way that I too can entertain that and enjoy that and experience that. But how do I go about it? How do I go about it? In my lifetime, I have known many people, including myself, who have been very, very happy. I'm a very, very happy person. It's my nature to be very happy. I do not look at what other people have and wish that I had it. I have trained myself not to live in that realm. I look at what other people have. When I see they have something glorious, I say, wow, good for you, how wonderful, oh, how wonderful. I don't say you deserved it, or you don't deserve it. I don't say that, why should you have those things and I not have those things? If I do that, I'm judging. And when I judge, I got a problem. I was thinking about an automobile. An automobile, a car, is a very specific thing. Now let's just take, for instance, a brand new automobile. And this brand new automobile comes directly from the factory. It's all tuned up perfectly. The factory has tested it. It has checked it out. It is functioning in its ideal way. It burns so much gallons per mile, or miles per gallon. And as it does this, it functions. Now, years ago, when cars were made, you had to grease them, and you had to oil them, and you had to change their lubrication regularly. If you didn't, they would soon grind to a halt, and they'd wear out, and they would grind away. Years ago, you had to put so much gas in the car, and it took you so far, and it is usually quite a nice distance. Years ago, you paid a modest price for a car, but it was still a good amount of money for the day and the time and the financial situation of the world at that time. But the car did what you wanted it to do. The car had a life expectancy of 50,000 miles or 100,000 miles. Today, the life expectancy is exceedingly more. Today, they build cars that do not need to be lubricated. Oh, you put oil in it, that's true, but basically, you don't lubricate it. You don't stick grease into the joints and things like that because they're sealed. They're sealed. The next step will come, they'll seal the engine so it does not have to have oil changes. The oil that they put in there will function for the lifetime of the car, which is, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles, you know. And they'll seal in the gasoline too, where the gasoline is put in the car and it is burned and burned and burned, and it gives for the lifetime of the car one portion of gasoline. You say, oh, that is so silly. Yeah, they said everything else was silly too, didn't they? Yeah, imagine a sealed joint where the grease is in there for the life of the car. They'll have that soon. They'll have that soon, and they'll have other techniques of operating these vehicles. But always there's little improvements here, little improvements there to make the car more functional. Now, what they're doing is they're making the car more and more self-sufficient, more and more so it can take care of itself. Now, the car is to take you from point A to point B, or just to give you a trip in the country, give you something to amuse yourself, and that's great. But then, we want to have refinements. We want to buy all of the accessories that a car can have. Heated seats, automatic pressure seats, you get in the car and you speak your word, and the seat adjusts for whoever it is that's getting in, long legs or short legs, up or down. And you speak to the radio, you speak to your iPod, or you speak to your iPhone, and they immediately dial the telephone number you want, and you can talk to someone while you're driving along, distracting yourself from driving and enjoying the ride with the car. You can play music in the car, and you can have all sorts of music, wild to the very sedate and the very calm music. You can have a busy road if you wish. You can say, I surround this car with my pure white light of love, and all its ways are peace, and all its paths are pleasantness. And then, as the way is open before me, and you drive down the road, and the way is always open before you. You can drive in the lane you want to drive in, and you're not bothered by cars pulling in or pulling out. You have a perfect path, just the way you want it. Now, a simpler car that can do all these wonderful things takes away a lot of the excitement of driving. That's true. Takes away a lot of the excitement of the adventure that comes into driving with other cars getting in our way or causing us problems or what have you. But think about it. Of the millions and millions and perhaps billions of cars on the road today throughout the world, driven by competent or incompetent drivers, the number of accidents is minuscule compared to the number of vehicles on the road. If it were the other way around, it would not be truly a safe place to be. But it is. And we don't realize just how wonderful the world is and how wonderful everything is, because we concentrate on the problems, not on the solutions. And in our life, if we're going to take our life and concentrate on the problems and not on the solutions, then we're going to find ourselves living in a very complex and in a very unhappy life because it's not doing what we want it to do. The simpler we can be in our mannerisms of looking at ourself and looking at our vehicle, which is our body, and looking at our our driver, which is our individual life, our individual self, and see all these things as beautiful and good, not be frightened of going anywhere, because everything is open and free for you to enjoy. Everything is open and free for me to enjoy. Why then do I have problems now and then? Well, I have the problem because I allow myself to be in a condition where I am not the master. I'm training my car, I'm building my car, designing my car to be drivable without having to be greased. I am driving it with the GPS so that it knows exactly where it's going. No, anywhere on the globe it knows where it's going. I'm driving my car that I can just sit back and relax and pay attention to the road and determine where I want to go, not what I want to avoid, and have the path be clear before me. But because that's not really such a great adventure, because that's not really too exciting, I create crazy drivers. I create tires that have blowouts. I create circumstances that are unhappy. I create cars that have problems. And then I have adventures. And I wonder why that happens to me. Why me, oh God? It happens to me because that's where my attention is. That's where my thought is. Wherever my thought is, that's my experience. I look at the world and I say, I do not know who I am. And I do not know who I am. I'm not creating a car that has greased joints that never need greasing. I'm creating a self that doesn't know who it is. I'm saying I don't know who I am. I say I'm searching, I'm on my path of my spiritual unfoldment. I'm looking outside of myself for ways in which to find the truth that dwells only within me. And I say, it's so boring to hear the same story that the Master Jesus gave 2,000 years ago, and churches are teaching it again and again and again and again, and with a little bit of imagination, making it a little bit more exciting, they teach it every single day to thousands and millions of people across the world, whether they're Buddhists or whether they're Hindus, whether they're Islamic or whether they're Jews or whether they're Christians or whatever religion they may be. It doesn't matter. All are teaching what they think is right. And yet all of the great teachers, all of the great philosophers, all of the great ones who have ever come along have always said, man, know yourself. Look within yourself. Look within your own being. Begin to recognize that you already are ideal. You already are fulfilled. You already are the essence of all that ever could be. Now, it's just a matter of you saying to yourself, I accept. I accept. I accept that I am the allness that is. I accept that I am the purity that is. I accept that I am love. I don't need to think that I have to search for something. Because the more that I search, the less that I find. Now, how can I say such a thing like that? Because the more that I search, the more that I find that is out there to search for. The more that I'm looking for new ways of thinking about positive thinking, the more I'm going to find hundreds and thousands and millions of people who are themselves finding their own way of thinking positive things. And for us, that's new. But for them, they're following their inward path. They're listening to their inward guide, their inward drummer, their inward self. They're not listening outwardly. And They say, well, I don't need a teacher, I don't need a guide, I don't need... And they don't. They truly don't. They turn within themselves and they find it. Because the great teachers, the great philosophers, the great leaders, the great people who are demonstrating that they know who they are not finding it from listening to others. They're not finding it from going outside of themselves and saying, this is how it's to be done. They go inside of themselves and they listen to the divine inside of them. And the divine inside of them says, you know what to do. Just go do it now. You know how to act. Just go and act now. Would you like to be a miracle person? Would you like to create magic in your life? Well, then study it. And know that you are magical. You are a miracle. But you see, we don't want to believe that. Because if we believe that, then the adventure is over. When we start to follow our life and base it on principle, the adventure is over. When we create a car that doesn't need to be lubricated, then the areas of which lubrication were so necessary previously are no longer there. And the replacement of these parts is no longer there. The life expectancy of these things is far greater. Well, science is telling us every single day that our bodies are created, the substance of our bodies, the essence of our body is immortality, living forever. Each cell of our body is designed to live forever. Now, did we design that? Is that part of a divine design? Is that part of a human design? Where did it come from? Well, science isn't worried about where it comes from because they can't figure that out either. All they can say is that it is true. Every cell is designed to be immortal, to live forever. Now, if we would treat each one of our cells in our body that it is designed to live forever, we would say, how can I encourage it to live forever? How can I have it live forever in its ideal state? Because I don't want my body to live forever in a lack of ideal state where it's in disease or unhappiness or where it's impoverished, where it is not strong, where it is not vital, dynamic, alive. I want to live in a vital, dynamic, alive body in every possible way, with every cell being its ideal self now and always, always, because it's immortal. How can I do that? Well, I don't do that by eating the right foods. Oh, come on now. That's not contrary to what we've been thinking. I don't do it by eating the right foods. I don't do it by drinking the right water. I don't do it by breathing the right air. Wow. I do it by doing one thing alone, by thinking the right thoughts. What are the right thoughts? What are the right thoughts? The right thoughts are that my body is whole and perfect. The right thoughts are that my cells are immortals. My cells are perfect. My cells do not need anything that I put into it. My cells only need what I take out of it. And if I take out of my cells anything that I feel is not harmonious with me, then I am bringing from the outer that which the inner doesn't need or know of. The inner only knows that it is whole and perfect. The inner is only immortal. People have demonstrated they can live without water. Not many, because it takes really a consciousness, a change of consciousness from what we've taught ourselves all of our lives. That they can live without air, live without food. Our body functions perfectly. Every cell of our body would go about doing its perfect work in an ideal way if we would just let it. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. As I say, I live in my ideal spirit-minded body, then I think thoughts of an ideal spirit-minded body. I think thoughts of me as being perfect. Now, truly, be honest with yourself, as I must be with myself. Is every cell of my body perfect? Is it designed perfect? Is it ideal? I say yes. If every cell of my body is ideal, it needs nothing from the outside to be ideal. It is ideal. From the very essence of itself, it is ideal. Every blood vessel, every blood cell of my body is ideal. It is fulfilled and doing its wonderful work. And truly, it is not really doing its wonderful work. It is being itself and having fun. And along the way, it is just carrying out its activity. The more pure I have my thought about what my body is, the less impurities my body has to work with. The more pure I have my thought about my blood, the less impurities or work that my blood has to do. It just flows. The more pure I have my thought about my eyesight, the more beautiful is my eyesight, the more competent is my eyesight to see all that is. The more I think pure thoughts about my body, every organ, action, function in my body is whole and perfect right now. The more that purity is my reality, my everyday speaking experience, thinking experience, acting experience, being experience, then that is who I am. I don't need the world about me to nourish my body. My body is self-sufficient. My body is absolutely self-sufficient. Now, once I know that, then I will not take in anything from the universe around me. I will be self-sufficient. I will be fulfilled within myself. And you say, well, the adventure of living, the experiences that we have, the things that we're doing, hey, you like that? Then go for it. Go for it. Whatever it is that makes you happy, go for it. And that's okay. There are many groups and organizations that teach philosophies and ways of thinking and ways of acting and ways of living on this planet. And they're experiencing that because that's what they're experiencing. They're putting on sitcoms that are saying things are terrible and that people are living contrary to whatever values that we have for ourselves, and we say that's okay, though. The longer we watch these sitcoms, the more we feel that that is the reality. And we can look at sitcoms of religion, and we can see sitcoms on religion where they are very definite in their philosophical point of view of religion, and they say this is all that is and all that matters and this is what must be done, and if you don't, you go to hell, and these are the things, and hey, that's okay. Those are the sitcoms of life that we believe in. And if we believe in them, then mentally we surely do experience them. Because there's nothing impossible in this life. Nothing impossible. There's nothing impossible. Hey, yeah, you say, yes, that's true, there's nothing impossible. Hey, there's nothing impossible. Well, why not have the nothing impossible be the very essence of ourselves, our ideal spirit, mind, and body? Our ideal spirit, mind, and body, which does not need other things to maintain it, to fulfill it, to reveal it. It is just a matter that I know who I am, and I reveal who I am, and as I reveal who I am, then I am fulfilled, and My game of life is my original purity and integrity. My game of life is being myself and having fun. My game of life is being the allness that I am right now. Right now, the only time, the only space, the only experience that there is. Now, do I want that adventure? Am I willing to pay the price of that adventure? The price of that adventure means I don't go into the other theaters. I only go into the theater of my original purity and integrity. I don't go into the other theaters that would say something different. I just go into the theater of being myself and having fun. I go into the theater of saying, I am love, I am joy, I am unconditional love. I make no judgments about anything because I just live my life. I just live the fulfillment and beauty that I am. People often say to me, Herb, wouldn't you like to have large audiences and large expressions of this? And wouldn't you like just to have just tons of money to do whatever you want to do with? Well, actually, I am doing whatever I want to do. I am speaking to people who are harmonious with what I teach, with who I am. And they love me as I unconditionally love them and as I unconditionally love myself. Everyone who comes into my world wants the philosophy that I have. They want to understand the philosophy that I am sharing. That's why they come. Everyone comes into my world because they want to walk the path that I'm walking. Now, they never will. They never will, because they'll only walk their own path. But they'll see me walking my path and they'll say, hey, that's the way I think. That's the way I think. That's what I believe. They won't say, I want to do like Herb does. They'll say, the way Herb does, he does just the way I think. Herb's ideas are just what my ideas were. Herb's thoughts were just what I believe. So it's not Herb's philosophy. It's your philosophy, and you're recognizing me living in your philosophy as many in your world live in your philosophy once you recognize that it's your philosophy and you're living it, and then everyone outside is a reflection of what you are, what you do, and what you think, and what you believe for yourself, about yourself. Life is so wonderful. Yes, people say, well, Herb, you should go and do this, and you should go and do that. And I say, if you'd like to have me do it, set it up and I'll go do it. But I don't really care. I'm being myself and having fun. I am the happiest man in the universe. I have everything I could ever want. I have a healthy body. I have a healthy mind. I have, well, Herb, you got problems now and then. Yes, that may well be. And I'm working them out because the problems are not what my life is. My life is the solution. My life is not the problem, but the solution. And when the problems come to me, then I work on them. And then I realize that that's not what I want. I want only the solutions. And so I turn my attention to the solutions. And I turn my attention to the solutions by purifying my thought, purifying my attitude about myself, purifying to my original purity and integrity. And how great that is. How truly great that is. That's a wonderful way to live my life. A wonderful way to live my world. No one can push my buttons because I look right through them and see how beautiful they are. How they really are the reflection of me. They may try to push my buttons because they want to have me work with them on their problem. And I say, I don't even know you have a problem. And they're bleeding to death. I don't even know you have a problem. Well, I now am whole and perfect. Hey, yes, there you are. Bunk! Yeah, you're whole and perfect. And the blood stops bleeding to death and everything stops and everything falls in the right place. But Herb, why don't you do that with people? Because I don't see them with a problem. I see them only with a solution. And you're welcome. You are welcome, and I am welcome to play any game I want in this experience I call life. I am welcome to play any game I want, with any attitudes I want, with any experiences I want, with any adventures I want, and I have the right to even call them real. And they are real for me, because I live according to what I believe is happening. But the moment I choose to be myself and have fun and live in my original purity and integrity and live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, then all those illusions, all those other illusions, these are illusions too, but all those other illusions, they fade away, and the illusion of my reality as I understand it now, as I reveal it from within, that's who I am. And that's all that matters. And then I stop talking about diseases, I stop talking about illnesses, I stop talking about problems, and I stop talking about looking for things that make me unhappy. And I start being myself and having fun, looking for things that make me happy. I start recognizing that the joints in my car, the joints in my body, do not need to have exterior lubrication. Things in my life, my body doesn't need exterior food. The car doesn't need an exterior gasoline. When I think my thoughts and I say, I am being there, wow, no gas, no oil, no anything. I get in my car and I am there. And I get out of my car and I am where I'm going. And I didn't expend any energy source at all. Just the attitude of my mind. Well, hey, if we can do that, then we don't even need a car. That's right. But you play the game. People see you arrive in a car and they say, he came in his car. And then they don't stop and say, you can't do that. Don't you realize that you can't do that? You can't do that. You can't be your original purity and integrity. You can't do that. And those are buttons that never get to our attention, never get to our thought, never get to our life. The only buttons we have are, I'm whole and perfect. I live in my original purity and integrity. I am ideal, spirit, mind, and body. I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. I am God. I am the allness of the universe. I am the creative cause of the universe. I brought myself forth on this experience to be myself and have fun. I brought myself here not to be touched by the illusions that are apparently around me, but to create my own illusions and to create them so beautifully that everyone who sees me sees the reality that I am. And everyone, because they're my creation, they see me and I see them absolutely whole and perfect, absolutely wonderful, absolutely glorious. Yes, I live in the now. I live here. And I don't chase rainbows, I don't chase wise teachers, I don't chase wise philosophies, which tell me that there's some outer gift that is waiting for me, some way of sitting in meditation or prayer that's going to bring me results. I know that as I listen within, and as I take time to know who I am and be who I am, then truly, I am who I am. How wonderful it is. How very wonderful it is. I surround you in my unconditional love as I surround myself in my unconditional love. And I live in a world of unconditional love, revealing my original purity and integrity now and always. I love you. I love you. I love you.